Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Changed by Casey Lee and Raven Storm. Narrated by Ash Beverly and Louise Brenner. Chapter 1. Derek. I was happy. More than happy. I was ecstatic. I walked around for the next few days after our return to Yellowstone with a stupid grin on my face, and I didn't give any fucks. I had the fiercest, most beautiful mate by my side, and our pack had expanded by adding the new members from Yosemite. Not everything had been completely smooth, but that was to be expected any time the balance was upset or readjusted in a pack. The few males that had joined us from Yosemite were given very clear expectations on how to treat the females, and Anaya was quickly breaking them of old prejudices by personally leading their training herself. To keep everyone in line, including Anaya, I made it a habit to be out with them as much as possible, if only just to watch the sparks fly. Fucking. I raised an eyebrow at one of the Yosemite males, who was likely incensed at having been put on his back again by Anaya. His face turned beet red when he saw me watching, but he simply picked himself off the ground and stomped away. Bailey might technically be his alpha, but he wasn't going to mess with me. Messing with another pack's alpha generally wasn't a healthy idea.
Take a water break, and be sure to stretch, Anaya commanded as she turned toward me, ignoring the grumbling behind her.
She beckoned me over. Everything going okay? I asked, keeping one eye on the Yosemite males. Anaya rolled her eyes.
It's my own fault for complaining about being bored. Then what do I get? An entire new pack to train, and they're all chauvinists to boot. Most of them had a sudden change in opinion after the first few blows to the head. Only a few are holding out. I'd give it another week or so.
It was hard to miss how Anaya's gaze drifted to three specific males, including the one who'd been about to cuss her out. I swore to keep a closer eye on them.
Otherwise, it's great to have more people for patrol, she continued. Maybe I'll even get a night off with my own mate at some point.
Anaya grinned, then frowned.
If they can be brought up to speed, that is. Not used to working, this lot.
I bit back the growl that rumbled in my chest. From what Bailey had told me, the Yosemite pack had forced the females to do all the work while the males lazed about. You don't have to tell me. Anaya caught the warning tone in my voice and wisely changed the subject.
That David kid seems nice, though. Bailey's friend, right? A little terrified of the other males, but he spends a lot of time around Brett and that older Yosemite female Kendra. He might be someone I could trust to lead a patrol in the future.
Her brow furrowed.
If I can get him to stop running from his own shadow.
I sighed. I've been meaning to talk to him myself anyway. He used to patrol for Yosemite, so he's familiar with most of the neutral territory. Thanks for the update. Anaya nodded and barked at the men to get back to work. I stifled my grin and headed to a group of cabins now inhabited by the Yosemite pack members. It was going to be odd having two packs cohabiting together, but so far it was working. I knocked politely on the first door I came across, not quite remembering who was inside. I hoped to run into David, but I'd been meaning to check on the other females. I needed to reassure them that they were safe and that they could trust me. The latter would take time, but I needed to be visible and present with them as much as I could to get the ball rolling.
Hello.
My eyes went wide as I came face to face with none other than Bailey's mother. Embarrassment was the first thing I felt. As the mother of my mate, I should have personally checked in on her the first night she arrived. Now I was tongue-tied and standing stupidly on her front step.
What did you say to the woman whose daughter you are railing on a nightly basis?
My face flushed, and I tossed around the idea of just turning around and leaving. I didn't even know her name.
Alpha Derek, nice to meet you, she said softly.
Her voice was low like Bailey's, and her eyes boldly raised to meet my own, even as she bit her lower lip. Now I knew where Bailey got it from. I dumbly extended my hand, not knowing what else to do. She eyed it warily for a moment, then slowly took it, aged and chapped skin sliding against my own.
Annette,
she said, her hazel eyes never leaving mine. Another trait she shared with her daughter. I wouldn't even begin to guess her age, but I figured she was younger than her appearance suggested. All the females from the Yosemite pack carried that haggard, oppressed look to them. Hi, Annette. I'm Derek, I finished rather lamely, because she'd just said that, didn't she? I buried my embarrassment and hid behind my alpha responsibilities. So, how are you settling in? Everything all right? I peeked in at the cabin she was likely sharing with another unmated female. The interior was quaint and tidy, if a little empty. My mother had led the effort to ensure each new member at least had the essentials. We'd have to send someone out to purchase a few things in bulk next time. More clothes, toiletries, the works. I shook my head, falling victim to my thoughts. Annette continued to simply stare at me. It was unnerving.
Bailey has said a lot about you. Nothing bad, she finally said, but her tone was huffy and a bit disbelieving.
I opened my mouth to respond, but she continued.
I had nothing bad to say about Bailey's father either. At first.
My wolf and I both stiffened at that, objecting to being compared to any dirtbag male from the Yosemite pack. I pushed the anger down. I needed to prove to Annette that there was nothing to fear here, that the males were different. We wouldn't be provoked. Bailey is quite vocal in her complaints to my face, I offered instead, grinning easily. I snore when I'm too exhausted, apparently. I take my showers boiling hot and have absolutely no fashion sense. Annette blinked at me.
And your complaints? She asked, again in that deadpan voice.
I snorted. No complaints. I'm lucky she'll even have me. She's a force of nature. Annette's head tilted to the side, still maintaining that eerie stare that felt like it reached the very essence of who I was. Even my inner wolf felt twitchy and uncomfortable. Then two frail arms reached out to me, first coming to rest on my shoulders. Her hands wavered slightly. When I made no move to stop her, she took a step closer to me, her face twisting with emotion.
It's true, then. You love her. Truly love her.
One hand stayed on my shoulder, while the other rested on the side of my face. I stayed completely still as she contemplated me.
Bailey is the reason I keep going. The reason I've always kept going,
she stated, slowly and deliberately. Annette's lips quivered, and I realized she was going to cry. And as uncomfortable as that made me, I owed it to her and the suffering she'd faced to give her the support she needed. Her arms lowered and wrapped around my waist, hugging me to her. I tentatively put my arms around her and just held her as she cried against me. The tears turned into heart-wrenching sobs, and soon my future mother-in-law was a sobbing wreck against me. I didn't know what to do, so I kept holding her. Was she sad Bailey had someone new in her life? Or was she relieved? Either way, I stayed as a silent pillar of support, gently rubbing her back. Eventually, she quieted and went limp against me.
When she finally withdrew, she wiped her eyes and rubbed her face with her hands.
I'm sorry. It's hard to realize that this is real, that it's over. It's finally over.
Ah, so it was a relief. I guided her over to the small, neat bed, and she sat down. I took a seat on the chair next to her. I noted one of my mother's quilts folded neatly at the end of the bed, and my chest warmed at that. Have you met my mother, Luna? I asked. If anyone knew what it meant to suffer and persevere, it was my mother. I resolved to have her personally check in on Annette and make sure she was getting along okay. Bailey's mom shook her head, then took a deep breath.
No, I haven't met her. It's very nice here, she rushed on to say, eyes darting over the cabin and back to me.
Curiosity warred with anxiety in her eyes. I nodded dumbly. What other response was there?
Annette! Annette!
The door to the cottage slammed open, and I immediately stood to put myself between Bailey's mother and the front door. A snarl burst from my lips, and the wolf at the door instantly wheeled back, hands on her face. It was a stupid reaction on my part, because we were safe here. But my wolf had clearly already accepted Annette as more than pack. She was family, and the wolf at the door still felt unfamiliar to me.
Shit. Sorry. I didn't know you were here.
The female practically fell on her ass in fear, trying to backpedal away from me. I flinched. I would never get used to the fear these females had. How could anyone like it? Revel in it? It was disgusting. I relaxed and gave her a chance to recover. When it was clear she had no intention of moving off her place on the floor under me, I stood aside to offer my chair, reaching out patiently with one hand to help her up. She eyed it nervously, then simply stood on her own, skittering past me to sit on the chair next to Annette. If Travis wasn't already dead, I'd have left then to kill him and use his tendons for new shoelaces. Annette's eyes kept following me, watching. Well, I'll leave you to it, I offered awkwardly. If there's anything you need, please don't hesitate to ask. I will send my mother over at the earliest convenience to personally welcome you. Annette nodded, still looking a bit stunned by it all. I wasn't sure why I felt mildly embarrassed, but at least I'd done what I came here to do. I beat a hasty retreat. Behind the closed door, I heard the other female remark brightly.
Isn't it crazy? The males here are protective.
I snorted and went on my way, trying to pick up Bailey's scent. It hovered just out of my reach, so I knew I was close. I turned toward the south end of the compound, raised voices pricking at my ears. I hurried to the source, thinking it was too early in the morning for any bullshit. If the males were starting trouble again, they'd be running the perimeter of our territory until they dropped from exhaustion. Then they wouldn't have the energy to pick fights.
You don't need to be using herbs. I have an entire supply of antiseptic and ointments here.
Brett's frustrated voice carried easily with the wind, and I jogged behind the cabins and out to the gardens. I slowed when I saw him standing there flustered with one of the new pack members. She was older, and one of the females who seemed to be adjusting easily to her new life. Kendra, I think. The one Anaya had mentioned earlier.
I don't care what you use. This has always worked for us in the past, so we'll keep on doing it.
Kendra held a basket of herbs close to her chest, like they were her firstborn. David hovered between them both, as if unsure who he should support. All three shot me a nervous glance as I strolled up, my hands casually in my pockets. Anything I can help with? I asked mildly, cautious not to do anything to frighten Kendra. I wanted them to learn how to live together instead of me having to sort out every tiny argument. Kendra pointed one finger in Brett's face.
I don't need any of his supplies. We can manage just fine on our own. We always have before.
Brett threw one hand up in exasperation, shaking his backpack of supplies at Kendra with the other.
I admit those herbs help, but they won't completely ward off infection. Do you want your girls to get sick?
Kendra hesitated. I used the pause in the argument to step in. Miss Kendra, right? When her attention shifted to me, I continued. Brett isn't trying to usurp you or tell you what to do. I shot Brett a look, telling him to keep his mouth shut. He got the gist quickly and simply nodded to confirm. I continued. He's just letting you know there are better resources available in this pack. We frequently have shopping trips to town and have access to better medical supplies. I'm guessing you never had such opportunities before. It certainly wasn't your fault. You did the best you could with what you had, and that's commendable. The torn look on Kendra's face gave me hope. I breathed out. Okay, so you see, Brett's goal here is the same as yours. To care for the injured to the best of his and your ability. If there is something that will heal the girls quicker and with less pain, isn't that a win for everyone? I carefully pointed out. Kendra deflated, her lips quivering.
I've always taken care of my girls, she whispered.
I knew she meant the other females in the pack, because as far as I was aware, her only cub was David. I shot a glance at Brett, whose lips had opened slightly in realization. And you will continue to do so, I said firmly. I'm sure Brett could use help stocking up on helpful herbs, and he's been meaning to start training some others in medicine. I think you two would make a perfect team. You could teach each other what you know. Kendra huffed.
You're a modern boy who wouldn't survive without all your fancy medicines, she bit out.
Her eyes narrowed at Brett, deepening the lines on her face. She didn't seem to realize she'd accidentally crushed a few herbs in one fist, the sudden stench of peppermint overlaying the fear seeping out of her. A small spark of alpha power spat from her, and my eyes widened. It was gone quicker than it appeared. It wasn't something that could be fully realized anymore, but maybe at one point in her life it could have been. Brett's nostrils flared, his brown hair flying as he shook his head. He shook his backpack, a few bandages threatening to spill out of the unzipped top.
You're just an old biddy who refuses to change.
Kendra pushed her basket into Brett's chest, who stumbled backward at being thrown off balance. He fell on his ass, supplies flying out of his backpack. Bandages, wipes, gloves, and an assortment of other materials scattered the ground. I growled lightly, but didn't intervene. Brett swore at her from his knees, gathering up his supplies and mixing in a few of her herbs. Fine, more for me, he grumbled, and looked at me once he stood.
Kendra, that was uncalled for, I rumbled at her. Please apologize. He is only trying to help.
Her head tilted to the side, the smallest tinge of fear in her scent.
And then what?
I paused. What do you mean?
Apologize to Brett, then you both need to figure out how to work together. We're going to need you both.
I turned my back slightly to both of them, silently telling them to figure it out. Kendra sighed, then picked up her basket and held it out to Brett. He eyed her warily, then added his items to her basket. Clean gauze, antiseptic wipes, ointments, and a few other miscellaneous items. They both moved back to face me, Kendra's face sour like she was walking to the gallows.
I pinched my brow with my fingers. Please apologize. I have somewhere to be. I expect you two to figure this out by the time I get back. I turned to leave, but Kendra took a step forward, shock on her face.
That's it? You aren't going to punish me?
The wrinkles lifted on her face for a fraction of a second, stretched out in surprise. Her incredulous voice rubbed me the wrong way, and I couldn't help the mild growl that started in my chest. I beat it down and fought to keep my voice level and calm. I turned back toward her. You can take us at our word, Kendra. Males here don't do that. Now please apologize. I have better things to do. Kendra met my eyes for a split second in challenge, still in disbelief. I narrowed my eyes, and she lowered her gaze to the ground.
My apologies, she said gruffly. To the both of you.
Her head bowed low, and I huffed in acknowledgement. Brett rolled his eyes.
If that's done now, would you mind showing me where you found the feverfew? I always get the leaves mixed up with something else.
Kendra gave him a suspicious look, analyzing the honest question in his eyes. She sighed heavily, then took his offered arm. A few steps in, and Kendra was already nattering his ear off about the physical characteristics of each plant. My shoulders slumped. Then I noticed David staring at me. I raised an eyebrow at him.
Settling in okay? I'd been meaning to check in with you.
Kendra turned to call out over her shoulder.
He keeps hanging around hoping for an excuse to see Daphne. If he keeps bothering her, I'll introduce him to some herbs that'll keep him away for a whole moon.
David flushed bright red and cringed next to me. I ran a hand through my hair. Who's Daphne? I asked. A quick vision of a female with dark hair and haunted eyes swarm in my mind, pulled from Bailey and I's collective pack knowledge.
Whoa.
It wasn't clear like the faces of my own pack would have been. It would take some adjusting to get used to that.
I just wanted to make sure she's okay,
David squeaked out. I massaged my temples.
You'll wait for her to approach you first. You may pass word through others to her, but I don't want you directly approaching her unless she asks.
David's face fell, but I didn't care. My main responsibility was to protect the vulnerable females, not his feelings.
Aren't you training today?
I asked instead. David's gaze guiltily shifted to the side, and my impatience grew.
Get going, or I'll escort you myself.
He scooted away quickly after that. It wasn't that I didn't like David. He was one of the more tolerable males from Yosemite, especially considering he was a friend to Bailey. I'd always owe him a little for that. But we had expectations here, and harassing females and skipping training weren't part of them. I sighed. He'd learn. They'd all learn. Eventually.
Chapter 2. Bailey. My wolf was angry as we headed back toward Yosemite, a place I swore I'd never return to. She also didn't want to leave our new pack vulnerable as they tried to settle in among the others. I knew logically that Derek and Luna would take care of them, but it still didn't sit right. Plus, I was leaving my mate behind. Mate. Official and everything. Every step away from him caused a tug in my chest, urging me to turn around and whole ass back to jump his bones. Most wolves wouldn't leave their bedroom for a week after mating, and we barely got 12 hours before Alpha Duties called to us. Naturally, taking care of the dead wolves left behind after the fight was first on my list. I hated that we'd left them there to rot in the sun. The thought alone of the stench made my stomach roll. But my pack needed safety. The ones that were still alive would always be my first priority. And now that they were safe, it was time to clean up the mess we left behind. The meeting with Katya was over a week away, so there was another reason to return here ahead of time, to see if there was any information left by Travis. Rebecca's red wolf trotted beside me, slowing as we came close to the border. When we crossed the threshold, there was no pain or irritation that usually accompanied trespassing on another pack's territory. To be blunt, the Yosemite pack didn't exist anymore. This territory was now open, and the borders felt like neutral territory. Weird. It had been one thing when my own ties to this area broke down after living with the Yellowstone pack, but having the pads of my feet pass over these stones and feel nothing after years of pain, it was overwhelming. My alpha instinct rose up, sensing the free land and wanting to claim it for our own. I shook my head, clearing away the need. I had been alpha for less than a week, and I hadn't felt this hormonal since puberty. At times it felt like my mind and body weren't my own, but being controlled by the whims of... Honestly, I have no idea how the fuck it worked. What I did know was that this land had been mine, and my pack wasn't here anymore. Moving on from all of this was what was best, and claiming it was useless. Eventually, my wolf agreed. Rebecca and I didn't dilly-dally. Both of us wanted to get in and get out. To be honest, I was shocked when Bex insisted on coming with me. She'd been cleared by Brett for the trek, but I would have assumed she'd want to stay behind to help the growing pack. Perhaps she had her own demons here to purge, even if she'd only spent a small time with this pack. Cresting the hill, vomit rose up in my throat with the smell of rotting flesh. Dead wolves littered the ground, and little piles of ashes marked where the vamps had fallen, scattered here and there on the ground. Thankfully, there weren't too many bodies. The males had either had enough self-preservation to stop fighting when they realized what was happening, or simply hadn't been skilled enough to fully participate. But the few corpses left here, Travis included, had been rotting in the sun since we left. Rebecca and I shifted back, plugging our noses to avoid the horrific smell.
"I can clean up,"
she gulped, her voice nasal as she held her nose. Her eyes watered as they bounced between the dead shifters. I frowned. Finding an area to bury them and digging all the graves would take too long. "Burn 'em," I said. She widened her eyes at me. Wolves liked graves. As pack creatures, we were used to having a place to mourn and connect with the dead. It was important to us. "No one will mourn them. They aren't pack," I reminded her. She nodded, face hard, and headed to grab a bloating shifter by the ankle to drag him to the center of a rock bed where a fire wouldn't cause the entire forest to burn down. I spun toward the alpha's house, which in an obscure way was now mine. Not that I planned to live here ever again. A new pack could come in and claim the houses for all I cared. At least that's what my brain said, even if my bottled-up alpha energy balked at the idea. Instincts were weird, but I wouldn't waver on my decision. This place had been a thorn in my side my entire life, and my pack had chosen to leave. I reminded myself and my wolf of this. I trudged up the steps, letting myself inside and heading upstairs to Travis's room. It reeked of him and his muddy scent. Being surrounded by him, envisioning the things he must have done to other women on the queen-sized bed, made me wish I was outside dealing with the dead bodies instead. The room was plain, boring like Travis, and didn't have much more than a bed and a closet. There weren't even any drawers, which surprised me. Apparently, Travis and the prior alphas took more time for the showmanship of their office than worrying about their bedroom where few...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?